This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm the best. Damn straight. That's right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mac Jones. Their sense is that he is further along than any rookie quarterback they've had pass through the system.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington, 14-year NBA veteran Kendrick Perkins, Baseball Hall of Famer Rod Carew, Today's Show co-host Craig Melvin, plus Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty then. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host sitting in my chair in Los Angeles, California. Let me get my best dad ever signed straight because the one-year anniversary of receiving this is coming up on Sunday. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
I'm great. And if Kawhi wants my healthy knee, he can have it.
How are you, Mike Del Tufo?
I'm doing
are you
very
good
well.
Over there?
I'm doing very
good
well.
To see you over
good
there.
To see you.
How are you, TJ Jefferson, sir? Good to see you over there.
I've been better, Rich.
Okay.
I've been better.
Well,
been
you know better. What? And I think you guys are making reference to some things that are going on in the world. It's interesting. I want to thank Ryan Lee for taking this chair yesterday while I spent the day hanging with the fam. Is my 12-year-old graduated from his grade school to the middle school, and that was a big moment in my household.
Nice.
And
that's awesome.
And so the last time I was sitting in this chair, I remember then 2 days ago when I left the chair. The conversation was in the NBA, in certain circles, Twitter circles, let's put it that way. Kevin Durant was a superstar who couldn't do jack squat without other superstars. And I was wondering if this was Chris Paul's moment. Oh, and Kawhi Leonard was healthy. And Scott Brooks was the head coach of the Washington Wizards. And Stan Van Gundy was the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. And by the way, all those things were still up for, you know, interpretation or were actually not facts, with the exception of Durant as of about an hour and a half ago. And it's noon Eastern time.
Like, what is going on?
Let's hit the Durant thing first. How stupid was that? That the fact that Kyrie lands on Giannis's foot, he goes out, and the bottom falls out of the nets in Milwaukee, you know, where the crowd is back in full throat post-pandemic, and we're all blaming Durant. How the hell did you not absorb losing Kyrie at the end of the first half and put the entire team on your back and beat Giannis and Chris Middleton, who's playing out of his skull, and the rest of the Bucks in their home court? How did you not do that, Kevin? You're supposed to be an all-time great. How stupid was that? We called it out at the time. We called it out at the time, and it's easy to call out stupid stuff. It really is easy to call out stupid stuff. So we're not really patting ourselves on the back. We're not going to separate one shoulder to pat ourselves on the other shoulder. But, you know, Durant is definitely, what, the one superstar in the league you can count on to hear what's being said about him?
Yeah. Well, he'll read it.
Right? Or finding out about it,
he'll
don't you think?
Out.
Like he's
yeah. He knows all.
Okay. How does 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists in 48 minutes hit you? And Harden comes back. And if we had told you he would have a stat line of 5, 6, and 8 and shoot 1 of 10 from the floor, you'd say, well, Durant would have to do that, right, in order to win.
Oh, yeah.
And last night, with Durant reasserting his legacy that was called into question, even though his legacy as one of the best players of all time, certainly at that position, certainly with his height and weight, certainly with all of that not really in question in most sane corners of the world, but in the haterade being sprayed all over the place corners of the world, 49, 17, and 10 in 48 minutes. And much of it coming when it looked like the Bucks were asserting themselves with, as Steve Nash referred to his team, a wounded Nets team. Because Harden clearly isn't the figurative, literal 100%. Kevin Durant is an all-time great. Good for you, Kevin Durant. But last night, in my estimation, proves as well this isn't the super team you think it is. It is a super team. It's not a super team.
Lowercase
it is
s.
A super team.
You started the super team, bro.
Well, that's one iteration of super team. But this is a team that is super. No Kyrie, half of a Harden, although he did log 46 minutes.
Yeah.
And he did just get to the line three times, which for him sometimes is somehow one possession. That's it. Sometimes he'll Eurostep you and he'll get fouled because he's jumping into you, but he started from the three-point line. He's just trying to make contact. He'll go to the line three times, and that's just one possession. That was a full game for him. 3 for 3 from the line. That guy is just built to go to the line. Yeah. You look at him, he'll go to the line. You look at him the wrong way, and they'll whistle, hey, he's going to the line. I didn't touch him. Yeah, but he's Harden. Jeff Green, 27 points and 35 minutes off the bench. Blake Griffin, what the hell? That's the only thing you could say. What the hell?
Jeff Green.
And then one of the more savvy, important plays of the night, veteran plays of the night, when, you know, Giannis is at the line and God bless him. I mean, what a horror show it is. Literally, I have to watch him shoot free throws through my hands. And I'm not emotionally invested in the Bucks. I can only imagine what you Milwaukee fans must be like. And he did pretty well from the line last night, but he did miss one towards the end that he really needed to make. And P.J. Tucker was going to get that rebound. But, man, did Blake Griffin hook him. He had him by the arm and totally veteran hooked him. And P.J. Tucker was angry as all get out because Blake was not called for the foul, and Blake kind of smirked and laughed at him and gave him this look as he walks up the floor.
Gotcha. Blake's good at that move. By
is he ever?
Gotcha.
17 points for Blake Griffin. This is a super team, man. And they're proving it. That was a prove-it moment last night, and the Nets did it. Good for them. Now you have to sit here and wonder if the Bucks are going to win Game 6. You know, and then what happens then? Will Coach Bud join the former head coaches of the Indiana Pacers and the Portland Trailblazers, now the Washington Wizards, now the New Orleans Pelicans? Will that Milwaukee job be open at this point next week? You believe it is. You think he's dead coach walking right now.
I believe
he's got to win two in a row. He's
got to win two in a row. But then, even still, I mean, he might get Marty Schottenheimer. Remember, Marty went 14-2 and lost in the playoffs and still got fired. I mean, I think
Celtics job now open too.
Jeez.
Just stay, Juwan. I don't care. I'll just say it. Just stay. All right. Now that I'm done with that,
I agree with you on that. Oh,
please, Chris Paul, man. Those are the three words. Chris Paul, man. Chris Paul, man. Chris Paul, man.
Unbelievable.
Jalen Rose says he's vaccinated. Jalen would know. That's what Jalen Rose said. As we all know, Chris Paul, it was learned today, is in COVID protocols, out indefinitely. That word indefinitely scares the crap out of you, certainly if you're a Suns fan. But I don't know. I don't know. Now that we're a fully vaccinated world, or becoming one, or hoping to become one, or nearing one, or if in the NFL you're halfway to one, you know, if the man's fully vaccinated, then you're sitting here scratching your head, because this is just an unbelievable blow. And I'm hoping he is fully vaccinated, because that might change the protocols. I don't know. I guess they're still testing people who are still even fully vaccinated. And the thing I just don't understand, I'll be honest with you, is all that I read up about it, know about it, if you're fully vaccinated, you can still get it. But if you get it, you're not hospitalized, but you're not supposed to be able to give it either. And I guess the NBA is just taking the ultimate in abundance of caution and sitting him out. Now, the good news for the Suns is it looks like the Suns and Clippers series was going to go all seven, until you learn Kawhi's knee is now banged up to the point where he's out potentially for the rest of the series. As he suffered the knee injury in the Game 4 victory for the Clippers. And now here comes Game 5 tonight in Utah and no Kawhi, and that should be a wrap the minute they jump that thing up. Now, you never know, but you never know.
You never know.
And maybe the Clippers could force a Game 7, but again, I'm looking at this through the lens of the Suns, who need the amount of time to get a guy who's apparently fully vaccinated through COVID protocol when nobody else is in it. And then, of course, the NBA, I think, needs to make some sort of a statement about this as to why Chris Paul is in a COVID protocol and LeBron was not. Now, LeBron might not have been COVID positive, as Chris Paul allegedly is. But it's so damn confusing, and it's so typical that Chris Paul is now sidelined when it looks like he's finally getting past the velvet ropes that have been put up by the basketball gods on the health front. I'm so confused. I'm not going to lie. I'm totally confused. If the guy is fully vaccinated, why is he sitting at home? Now, Jalen Rose is saying that he thinks that he should be back. Great. I hope he's right. I hope he's right. But I will just say this to Suns fans. I'll just say this. Remember I mentioned the other day, Christopher and TJ and Mike, that when you want a deal so badly in your life, your house, any sort of negotiation, there's two times, that's my mantra, there's two times where you feel like it's just not going to happen. Two times. The first time happened with Chris Paul when it looked like his shoulder was getting cupped and taped and knocked out and put back in. And all of a sudden, Monty Williams is like, yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And then it didn't turn out to be.
Okay, great.
This is the second. How about that? This is the second when you think it's not going to happen. He could be out there on Sunday because he is fully vaccinated. Get fully vaccinated, people. And I hope this is not used by certain portions of the country to say, well, look, you could still get it, so what's the point of getting it? Because he might be hospitalized otherwise. It might be keeping him out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And it certainly might put him back on the court faster than not. I'm confused. And then Clippers, I don't know, TJ. I think you got a problem. And these playoffs, they have just been out of control in terms of the number of star players who have gotten hurt and then the lack of predictability, which I'm sure the league loves. Embiid didn't make a single field goal in the second half in Atlanta. I thought they had that. I thought they had 3-1 coming up and they were going to finally slay the Trae Young dragon. Somebody was going to do that, but now there's a big Game 5 coming up there. I can't imagine that Kawhi and that the Clippers win this series, beat the Jazz without Kawhi. I think that's going to be a wrap. He's so important defensively too. But best of luck to your Clippers tonight, sir.
Guy's got to step up, man. That's
who's the one? I mean, it's playoff P. He's going to have to be Durant P. Well, he's going to have to be playoff Durant.
Paul's been killing it. He'll never get the credit because people only want it.
Hold on a second. He had a terrific last two games.
Yeah, but I mean, for the most part, Paul George slander is the thing, right?
Like, it is the thing.
It's the thing. So people won't even give him the credit. But, you know, it's next man up. Someone's got to step up. I mean, do you replace Kawhi? I don't know.
You don't. But if Luke Kennard can throw in a nice game and Terrence Mann can get some run. Mm-hmm. And
Morris has to
and
keep
Reggie
hitting.
Jackson has to keep Reggie. Being Mr. June, then I think they can scratch together and make this a game. I mean, the spread jumped 4 points this morning, Rich. I know you're not paying attention to those things, but Utah was a 3-point favorite. Kawhi ruled out. Now it's 7 points. So the desert obviously thinks this is a huge deal, and the Clippers can't overcome it.
Well, I think Terrence Mann is going to have to conjure some of the greats to come out of the corner to help out the Clippers tonight.
I think you're right.
I'm not worried about the Sixers. Up Embiid. I'm not worried about them too much. I still think they're going to take out the Hawks.
Well, and then just, you know, these are the way things go in our business. I'm sitting there going through the graduation day with the family, and somebody texts me, hey, 2 or 3 interceptions during practice. You should get Jeff Darlington on the show tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, we'll do that. He'll be first up because outside of the Nets Bucks, what was there to talk about in the NBA? Isn't that crazy how things work, Christopher?
I said that this morning before you got here. Like, that was the big kind of story yesterday. It was like...
No, I know that. And it still is. I mean, it's still a major story that will play out during the fall. And we are all, you know, football crazed here. But Kendrick Perkins is our second guest today. He's just not our first guest. So all of what we just discussed, we're going to revisit at the top of the second hour. That's why we've got 3 hours. but Jeff Darlington's going to join us in 5 minutes' time because Tua threw five interceptions during minicamp yesterday. And apparently it's, you know, the conversation. It was a passing camp, and it's just be aggressive, throw, doesn't matter what windows you have. And I guess Tua just threw everything at everybody, and it didn't matter if you throw any interceptions. And then that's interesting that you hear that, because in football, every practice, every rep is important, and you want to mimic what will happen during the fall as much as possible. And five interceptions is not what you want.
No.
Ever. You don't want the ball on the ground. You want the ball in the defense's hands. That's the way it works in the National Football League or in any football at any level. And if Tua's not the guy in Miami, that is a major problem. And we already heard rumblings during last year, and I don't understand why there are rumblings even now. But it is still an important story as to what's going on in Miami, certainly with Deshaun Watson sitting out there wherever the heck he is, under whatever circumstances is going on between lawyers and masseuses. He's still sitting out there. That's a fact. Rod Carew's going to join us. His book that he came on last year to promote is now in paperback. And I cannot wait to ask Rod Carew the question that many people are saying, including you sometimes, Christopher. The cheating's been going on a long time in baseball, so what's the big deal now? Spider tack is the big deal. And we've already heard now so many people complaining about what pitchers are putting on the baseballs. It didn't take long for a pitcher to say, we're getting ready for our spider tackless world, and I'm getting hurt because stuff that we have been using for some time, not named spider tack, like rosin and sunscreen, have caused me to be seriously hurt. That's Tyler Glasnow of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Big time ace.
We've already now seen an injury that a pitcher's blaming on baseball coming down on things other than what he's been using, causing him to not use it and now get hurt, and baseball hasn't officially cracked down on anything yet by suspending players. They're just warning him it's coming. Craig Melbourne from the Today Show, he's got a terrific book, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. He's the author of Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father, available now where all books are sold. It is Father's Day coming up on Sunday, so it'll be a great chat with him. And I ran into Keenan Allen on a golf course just last week, and now he's on this show.
Oh, how about that?
How about that? I saw him. I said, hey, I'd like to get you on the show. He's like, sure. I call the Chargers. Now here's Keenan Allen.
Funny how that works.
A guest of Joe Hayden that day.
Oh, is he a stick, Keenan?
I don't know. I will ask him personally.
All right.
So he will be joining us in the very, very end of the show. You threw out at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, talk some football. Jeff Darlington, I don't think he's offended. We'll ask him if he's got that sweatshirt on. Oh, yeah, we'll hit that Aaron Rodgers stuff, too. Complicated fella. Is he offended or is he not offended? All right, we'll hit that later on. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show with Jeff Darlington. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack, second and 26 in a national championship.
You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play put you on the map?
Yeah.
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live radio, TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been. I mean, he was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach. You know, he pulled me to the side. Like, what were you thinking? You know,
After you won the game, mm-hmm. and you picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah, being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side and he said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know, so I mean, we won the national championship, so I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and, like, he looked at me, and, like, I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand, and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh, man.
I love that story. Yeah. That made my favorite story the whole week. So you just figured,
I was like, oh, maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive. You can also listen to us every day on demand on our podcast, on the Cumulus Podcast Network. So you check that out. Also, my pod, Just Getting Started, every single Wednesday. Today's episode with Kelsey Grammer, star of Cheers and Frasier. Nice. And he talked about his Frasier reboot. You can get all that on the Cumulus Podcast Network, right, where all podcasts are acquired. You've pissed off our Wisconsin radio affiliate. Good job, Chris. Good job. I saw that during the commercial break.
I said that it was on. Well done. Was on me. They tried to blame you.
No, it's okay. Right. There's only 23 of them, Chris. It's okay. Let's go one by one. This guy.
I mean, I would say
for one segment, and I got a this guy.
Very good. Come on, man.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy family on our Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock channel, and this Rich Eisen Show radio station. We appreciate all of you out there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show once again is my old colleague from NFL Network days now, sitting there in South Florida on the worldwide leader in sports, talking NFL every single day nationally, as well as what's going on with the Miami Dolphins. Our friend Jeff Darlington back here on the show. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, that Tua story was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, the one we just played on our Peacock with him at the Super Bowl.
Did everybody not hear that?
No, the radio network did not, but that's great that you I know you were on hold. I'm more than happy to talk about it. That Tua at the Super Bowl in South Florida. Back in 2019-2020 calendar year, saying that Nick Saban went up to him after he won the national championship with a throw that dug them out of such a deep hole that he put them in because he took such a terrible sack. He joked with Saban at the time. And that's interesting that he chose to do that. But it's, you know, Tua was feeling his oats, that's for sure.
you know, that reminds me of another story about the other guy, the other Saban, which is Bill Belichick. I was at the Patriots after party, and Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola are spraying champagne all over each other. And Julian Edelman says, "Where's Bill?" with the champagne bottle. He's going to spray. This is after he gets the MVP. He's going to spray Bill Belichick. And Danny Amendola stops him and says, "You can't do that, man." And he goes, "What's he going to do, fire me?" And Danny Amendola looks at him and says, "Yes." Those guys don't joke around, man.
They don't, I know. And Brian Flores comes from the Belichick coaching tree, as we know. So walk me through what happened in Dolphins minicamp, mandatory minicamp, with their quarterback that kind of has to work out, one would say, right now, the way things look in Miami. Go for it, Jeff Darlington.
So, yeah, I think this one requires a lot of context and well beyond the headline that is obvious, which is Tua Tagovailoa throws 5 interceptions during minicamp practice. So here's the deal. First of which, I'm not going to completely sugarcoat this thing. He didn't look great. He didn't look great before the torrential rain. Even when he wasn't throwing interceptions, he didn't look great. And this is a guy who talking to people in the organization, including yesterday before practice, people kept saying he's different. He came back different. He looks better physically. He seems better mentally. He just seems more prepared for what he's about to endure. After practice, I talked to somebody who said, "Look, here's the deal. I can tell you, I heard it. Flores told them before practice, like, this is he called it a passing camp. He said, this is a teaching camp, that this is the time to be aggressive, to make mistakes. I want you firing downfield. I want you doing those things that maybe you wouldn't do during games in the season." So, you know, it's somewhere down the middle here. Like, is it cause for concern? It's a June minicamp, probably not. But for a guy that is coming under such obvious wonder about what he's going to do in year two, we're going to probably criticize and look at everything he does, including a practice in which he throws 5 picks. So fair is probably somewhere down the middle.
So then let's put the 5 picks aside for a moment and just say that's the reason why we're having this conversation now on June 16th, right?
Yeah,
that,
right.
But it's still a conversation that was being had while he and Fitzpatrick were on the same roster last year, and Fitzpatrick, as Fitzpatrick usually does, gets the gig back for a couple of quarters when the Dolphins needed to make the playoffs, and it was obvious that Tua was struggling to try and get the Dolphins to that spot. And now comes the whole conversation about Deshaun Watson. Let's be flat out straightforward about this, that the Dolphins have the draft capital still to go and get Deshaun Watson should he prove to be a viable quarterback. So let's just use this now as the backdrop and revisit what you said about him showing up differently in Miami. What do they mean? What are you hearing about that? What do Dolphins front office, if not coaches, tell you on that front? What's the deal there?
Look, I mean, I think that they're trying to be as supportive as possible of Tua and what he can do this season. And I also think that they at this point, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, they have to be, because let's be honest, Tua right now throwing 5 picks in a minicamp practice still isn't as bad as or as curious as the future of Deshaun Watson. We don't know enough about whether and when he will be available. It is way too speculative. Like, I started to go down this same sort of avenue in my own head yesterday as I'm watching Tua throw these picks about Watson, and then I'm sitting there saying, when is Watson going to be available? Is he going to play at all this year? And I understand we want to be as fair as possible to this process, but even if this process is played out expeditiously, what does that even mean? So, yes, if Tua goes into training camp and struggles and Deshaun Watson's picture is more clear, I don't know how the Dolphins can't consider it. But there is a lot that has to happen in the coming months for that to go from a conversation between us and a reality for the Miami Dolphins.
So then let's just stay here for a second before we revisit how Tua's shown up differently. What are you hearing on this? I mean, what's going on that front?
I've heard everything from his footwork is better to, look, he's not having to do, you know, this time last year, he was having to combine learning a playbook with rehabilitating a hip. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that people seem to think will make him better. I also can't ignore, despite maybe it being a little unfair, what you brought up about Fitzpatrick last year. And if we go back to that final game that they lost in the playoffs, that final game of the year when Fitzpatrick had COVID, and if Fitzpatrick did not have COVID, you cannot convince me for a second that he is not in that game in the second half. And what kind of conversation are we now having if that was the case? If Tua couldn't finish out that game and then also was struggling now. I think he deserves the patience that the Dolphins are giving him, but I do understand those who are wondering if he is the answer. It'll play out. It's going to play out in front of us. We're going to see it. I get both sides of it, to be completely clear.
Jeff Darlington here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, Tua did admit earlier this spring that he wasn't as well-versed in the playbook as I guess he needed to be. And
I don't know how he could have been, Rich. I would defend him there.
Right.
You know, last year was weird, man, with COVID, with his hip. Like, I get that. I do understand why maybe his transparency in that, you know, I get that it gets a little bit of attention, but I kind of understand it. And maybe he shouldn't admit it, but he is nothing if not an honest and vulnerable human.
This is so fascinating to me, Jeff, because of who he was in college and the story that the Dolphins, pretty much the minute he looked off a safety to beat Georgia in the national championship game, changed their entire process to get him. Burrow throws 60 touchdowns, thus Tua is available for them, but so is Justin Herbert, who has a season in which he had the same offseason, right, Jeff, where he didn't have this, he didn't have on-field workouts, he didn't have any of that, and he's told literally 5 minutes before a game, you're starting against Patrick Mahomes, and winds up being rookie of the year, and we're sitting here wondering why Tua's talent level can't overcome lack of playbook knowledge in the same way that we saw Herbert do it this past year.
And Rich, I feel like I've contradicted myself 10 times, and I'm not just trying to agree with you by any means here, but like, that's the weird thing about this. Like, when you try to just treat the Tua situation in a vacuum, you can be patient, you can be understanding. But then when you start to bring in these other factors, whether it's Deshaun Watson's potential availability, whether it's the fact that they could have had Justin Herbert. And there's no way that even the ardent Tua fans, the guys who are most supportive, can't in the back of their heads be sitting there still saying, man, Herbert looks good. I mean, you can't, he's so clearly at this point a franchise quarterback. So I am equally fascinated by what feels now to be more of an experiment than a conviction in Tua, and I will be down here for every minute of it.
Jeff Darlington here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of the Miami Dolphins going through the motions, it seems, right now. How many interceptions did Jacoby Brissett throw yesterday?
He threw two of his own.
Oh my gosh! So everybody's just winging it all over the lot, huh?
It was torrential. I mean, like, again, I'm not. It was the rain was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It wasn't that LA rain. Let me tell you what, Rich.
Okay. So, what can you tell me about what you're hearing on the Aaron Rodgers front? What do you got for me from what your sources are?
You know,
telling
it's funny. I keep hearing that it's not about the contract. It's not about the money.
What's
it
about?
I keep hearing in my conversations that it's about the contract. It's about the money. You know, like, and it's maybe somewhere in between. Like, I from what I understand, like, I see him wanting the type of security that not only provides him faith in this year, but faith that if he winds up with another team because the Packers decide to move on, that he will still be equally secure. And that's a complicated statement, but this is a complicated situation. And I'm not going to just call him a complicated fella, because I think the Packers also probably need to do a better job of managing this thing from the outside as well.
When he wore that sweatshirt yesterday, I'm offended. Do you think do you think he really is offended, or he's making fun of media members wondering if he's offended? I can't figure that one out.
I can't feel him out either, man. The second I think that's his goal, just to throw chaos into the mix. Like you know what? I'll agree with Mark Murphy. Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella. I'm just not the CEO who's trying to convince him to come work for me, so I feel a little bit more okay saying it than maybe Mark should.
No, that's what I was saying on Monday when this whole thing came up, is, you know, you've been through all the collective bargaining agreement labor wars, that which is the ultimate negotiation that anybody who covers the NFL, certainly for the last 10, 15, 20 years, will recall.
Right.
That's we may not see any greater negotiation in the National Football League than that one. Any statement can send anybody sideways. Anybody.
You're right.
And so, you know, to say complicated fella, that also indicates to the fan base, who's the jury in the court of public opinion, we're not the complicated one. You know, we'll have him in. He's the complicated fella. Like, that's the way it comes across, even though Mark Murphy probably did not mean it that way.
You know, so, maybe he didn't mean it that way, but Rich, he did the same thing like a week earlier in a Q&A on the Packers website, where someone wasn't even asking a question about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you go look it up, and Mark Murphy took it upon himself to bring up Aaron Rodgers and
dividing the fan base.
Yeah, dividing the fan base. That comment. I mean, it wasn't even the question. It wasn't even a question. It was a statement to Mark Murphy, and it had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. So, like, as much as I want to say, yeah, maybe he didn't mean to do it. Well, guess what? His job is to mean to say the right things, not the wrong things.
How could James Jones fix this, Jeff? I mean, he's saying that he can get in a room and with everybody and fix it. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to be the mediator of that situation.
Aaron Rodgers,
that guy he's too smart. He's going to ultimately do what he wants to do. I don't see mediation of any kind. I think he's going to decide what he wants and what's best for him. And he's going to say, this is what I need to come back. I don't know what that is or when that is. And he's going to make that decision. But, and I, by the way, I'll say this, Rich. I think he does play for the Packers this year. It doesn't make logistical sense for him to sit out based on the money, based on the legacy, based on all of these things. I understand he's a prideful person, but he is also a person of self-interest. And I think that he ultimately will see that playing this year, even if it's his last, is in his best self-interest.
Jeff, I appreciate the time, man. Let's keep chatting.
Thanks, Rich.
Let's keep chatting. You be well.
Appreciate
you take care.
You. Thanks, brother.
You bet. That's Jeff Darlington. I follow him on Twitter. You should follow him, too, at Jeff Darlington. All right, we'll take a break. It's been 2 days since I've talked about Aaron Rodgers, and you know, I've got that issue. I can't even handle it.
You're fading right now.
I can't even. I mean, like, literally, I've got that shakes underneath the desk with my legs keep going.
Rich needs more cowbell.
Hit that. I mean, I missed it yesterday. I got to jump right in. That's next.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You and your dad watch football, and for years this has been going on?
It's probably only been, maybe, it's just been recently, maybe the last 3 years.
Okay,
something like
so what
that.
Happens?
We sit around, we watch the game, and whenever they have a shot of a head coach.
The cutaway.
Mm-hmm. We like to guess what that individual is like as a stepfather.
Brockman, who's up first? Who do we have up first here?
First up, Alabama head coach Nick Saban.
Taking a look at Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the kind of stepfather that, regardless of how different he may seem to you, in every single Christmas card photo, His hair has been the exact same since he married your mother. He's also the kind of stepfather that wears dress pants and then a white tank top undershirt all the time, unless he leaves the house and then he puts on the dress shirt.
Ohio State head coach, oh, yeah. Urban Meyer.
What sort of stepdad would Urban Meyer be?
Urban Meyer is really the kind of stepfather that's just always kind of confused and is really can never remember anybody's name. He'll always call Bobby Stevie, yes, and Stevie Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
That's not Jimmy, Dad. That's Bobby. Whatever.
Former 49er head coach, current Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Be gentle here.
You be having a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. You think it's going really great. Mm-hmm. And then he just all of a sudden gets a look on his face and he goes, what was that? And your heart just goes into your throat and you think you've said something horribly wrong. And you instantly start thinking about all the things that you could possibly be getting in trouble for.
Do we have Tom Sula?
We have a bonus one.
Yeah, got Tom Sula?
I've got your
current Niner head coach?
He is the kind of guy that he will be having a conversation with you and he'll never be looking at you. And he'll be going, how's your day? You got a good day? And you start telling him how your day was. And then he'll always go, hey, honey, what's for dinner? No matter what you're talking about,
can we try?
Yeah, you'd be bearing your soul. Yeah.
So hold on a minute. So I'll be your stepson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How was the day?
That was great, Dad. Let me tell you about what was going on.
Hey, honey, have you seen the clicker? Where's the clicker? Sorry, Rick.
No. I just was telling you about what I was doing in school. Me and my friends, we had this great time.
Hey, did you throw out the paper, honey? I didn't finish that crossword puzzle. You got to have a talk with your mother.
Oh, Colin Hanks. Love that man.
Best.
Oh, the best. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right back here on the Rich Eisen Show on NBC Sports on Peacock and then this Rich Eisen Show radio station. Okay, so yet another volley of promotion for the Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, Bryson DeChambeau match set up for the week after July 4th, right?
The 6th.
The 6th in Montana.
Montana.
In Montana. And so God bless Phil, man. He's got the PGA Championship. He's got the Wanamaker Trophy, right, in his back seat.
Today's his birthday.
It's his birthday today. He's turning 51 today. He's at Torrey Pines in his native San Diego, trying to win that U.S. Open. Finally add that to the case. He'll have a career Grand Slam.
Career Slam.
And what's he doing? What's he doing the Tuesday before? I'm assuming it was live. I assume they did it live. I'm assuming it could have been from like 3 weeks ago. Who the hell knows? I doubt it because Rodgers was wearing something that definitely was a message for whom and what it was is opener interpretation as everything that he's doing right now. Okay. Do we have a soundbite from this?
Yes. So Brian Anderson, Turner's very talented. Yes. He was kind of hosting this with four guys.
Okay. And
he asked Rodgers, hey, what have you been up to?
Okay, let's hear.
Very nice. Well, let's go from one quarterback to the other. Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP of the NFL. Aaron, some Hawaiian resort set up there. It looks like you're having a great time. You've really kept a low profile this offseason. I've hardly seen your name at all. You haven't hosted any TV shows or been involved in any kind of controversy or anything. It's been a nice, peaceful offseason for you, it sounds like, AR.
Thank you, BA. It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
I love this guy, man. I do. I do love him. I do love him.
What an answer.
I do love him. Okay, let's take it one at a time. He blurred his background. He doesn't want us to know where he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blurred the background.
I don't know. He's blurred the background. Everybody else didn't blur their background. He's the only blurred background.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looked like he was on a deck or something. It looks like, you know, a what? Tree.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Brian Anderson is a longtime Brewers announcer, so I'm sure they, you know, the BAR thing was, you know, not just him being familiar just for the sake of it. They, you know, so I love the I'm offended sweatshirt or shirt T-shirt or whatever it was. I'm offended.
Perfectly cut above the.
That's great. It's great. Right? And I don't know if that is his indication that he was offended by anything that the Packers have said or done, most recently the complicated fella comment from Mark Murphy, or the he's divided the fan base comment from Mark Murphy, in between which those two comments Mark Murphy said, the less said the better. Or maybe he's poking fun at the media, which is reading into everything like he's blurred his background.
Right. His hair slicked back. Like, what's going on?
He's been doing that lately, too, and it's great. And by the way, he has lived his life like that. Like,
hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah. I'm hanging with the tellers.
He's earned it.
My fiance. Yeah. I'm chasing waterfalls. And
smoking Pacalolo, bro.
Whatever. Whatever he's doing, it's great. Whatever he's doing. But did you also said, and also be an NFL player, too. He's an NFL player. Not a Jeopardy host.
Right.
He's an NFL player.
Better,
he's not retiring.
League,
he's not going anywhere. Every single time he speaks, we want some sort of definitive answer. He gives us nothing. Nothing. To use the Khan phrase from The Wrath of Khan, let them eat static. That's what we're doing as he turns the heat up. Meanwhile, James Jones, my colleague in the NFL Network, the NFL Media Group, he's saying he could fix this thing. I mean, he's not saying I alone can fix it. He hasn't done the whole Trump thing, but he's saying he can fix this thing. He can get in the room. He can get Aaron Rodgers in the room. Who's told him it's fixable? Now he also says it's complicated, which means it's complicated and yet fixable. I don't know. I would love it to be fixable. I'd love it to be fixable. Because I'll tell you this. There's no question in my mind, if Aaron Rodgers wants to win a Super Bowl in 2021, the place to be is Green Bay. Now, he has every right to sit there and say his opponent in Montana on July the 6th and his opponent in the NFC Championship game in Lambeau Field went elsewhere after two decades and won it all. Denver does not have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Denver does not have an offense where he could bring his tight end buddy in that he won championships with. That's not there. They do have an old school warhorse defensive head coach. I mean, Bruce Arians is an old school warhorse offensive head coach.
True.
Brady also went there in the spring. Aaron's going to have to go there if he gets his way, if this is what he wants, which is an exit visa to a spot where he can have his Peyton Manning finish and he can have his Brady finish as a fellow GOAT quarterback, right? He could do that. I don't think Denver is Tampa 2.0 roster-wise. Now, look, I saw Tampa 1.0 roster-wise 2 weeks before the end of the 2019 season. I called their game against the Houston Texans when the Texans won the division and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers watched Jameis Winston start the game with a pick six that got called back only to throw another one, actually, that didn't, and then finish the game by throwing an interception to wrap the game up. And talk about how things can change. You know, snap cut now to the current moment. The Bucs are the defending world champs, and the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson are in the proverbial world of poop that Private Pyle once talked about. So anything can change. But the best spot for Aaron Rodgers to win it all in 2021 is also the spot where he is familiar with everything that goes on. Maybe too familiar. So the latest on all of this is there is no latest. I don't know what my friend James Jones is talking about, that he can get in a room and fix it. Like what? What's to fix? What's to fix that the head of the entire organization and the grocery shopper who, despite starting a clock on Rodgers' endgame scenario that Rodgers didn't see coming, has gotten the full vote of confidence from the head of the organization. Those two guys apparently have flown off. Like, what needs to be fixed? That's the question, that James Jones says he can go in and fix it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The best place for him to win is in Green Bay. Certainly, I shouldn't say that. Certainly, if Denver's the other option, with all due respect to Denver, and I should, he can go there and he can make some chicken salad out of whatever the offense has looked like the last few years, and he can make the greatest chicken salad in the history of chicken salad. He can do that. But Mike Evans and Chris Godwin went to the Pro Bowl together the year before Brady showed up, and Gronk walked in through the door, and Antonio Brown walked in through the door, and Leonard Fournette walked in through the door. And Arians already is attached to the hip of the quarterback. I mean, Vic Fangio is not. So I think it gets fixed just because I think this is the best case scenario. And then it'll be a swan song. I mean, there's no question about that. Certainly if Rodgers doesn't sign a huge deal to come back, which I think needs to happen in order to save face and fix it. But that also didn't look like a guy who cared about saving face. He was just caring about blurring his background and wearing a sweatshirt for us to talk about it, because that's all he wants right now. Just turn up the heat. Keep turning it up. Hour number two, Kendrick Perkins when we come back, as why news gets worse. Oh, boy. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and this radio network. I'll bite. You just got in my ear and say, tease, Kawhi news gets worse. What is it?
Yeah, Shams just tweeted a minute ago, Clippers fear Kawhi Leonard has suffered an ACL injury. He is out indefinitely.
It sucks.
It's awful. I mean, it's something else.
Brutal. Because that's not, we're not just talking about now. We're talking about next season. I mean, this is...
Well, an ACL injury, I mean, there's a lot of room there. Is it a tear? Is it a strain?
Yeah, a lot of room.
So,
a lot of room to maneuver.
ACL, I've never heard of an ACL strain.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for the best.
No, an ACL means that's the ACL. And then that's something that requires a significant amount of rehab. And as you know, we're already late in the game. I mean, usually right now we're seeing somebody with a parade. Not like wondering when's the Western or Eastern Conference Finals going to start. And the NBA season is going to start when the NBA season starts normally anyway.
It is starting on time. Like
right.
Third week of October. Yeah.
So you're talking about the entire next season could be missed too.
Yeah, I mean, he's back maybe All-Star.
And what does that mean for his contract? If he wants to opt out, does somebody actually do what the Nets did with Durant? We'll sign you now and we'll see you later?
He's not going to opt out.
I would say his chances are now next to zero.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, someone. Look, he's going to leave.
Do you think the Nets are right now happy that they signed Durant?
Well, yes, obviously.
And just gave him a year to get back from his Achilles? That somebody's not. I don't know, man. Why wouldn't Kawhi still opt out?
All right, hold on.
See what's what.
I'm just going to hold out. Just see exactly what the problem is for him.
You know how this works.
All right, so Kawhi's player option deadline of August 1st is for $36 million next year.
Another team wouldn't pay him $36 million? Or I guess that might be a bird rule though, where he gets more with the Clippers than anyone else?
Guys, he's not going anywhere.
Maybe.
Okay. He's not. And We got Miyagi-Do karate working on him right now. He's getting the knee rubbed.
I mean, if Pat Riley says, hey, here's 3 for $120. Yeah.
It's like, all
going to
be
like
fine.
Like Kawhi's going to South Beach, bro.
And what do you think Mr. Ballmer would do in that? You think he wouldn't pony up? That's ashtray money, man.
I get it. No state tax in Florida.
Look, I'm upset now. I'm hurt right now. I'm hurt.
We're fully vaccinated. We can hug it out.
That's fine. We can hug it out.
Man.
All right, we'll take a break. Back with Kendrick Perkins and Rod Carew, Hour 2.